Penguin Random House Audio presents The Hardest Place, The American Military Adrift in Afghanistan's Pech Valley by Wesley Morgan. Read for you by Mark Deakins. For the interpreters who risked and sometimes lost their lives protecting American soldiers and Marines in the Pech Valley and its tributaries. Prologue, 2010. The soldiers living in the concrete maze of Combat Outpost COP, Michigan, treated the Taliban fire that poured in from the mountains as though it were weather. Bursts of machine gun bullets were akin to drizzle, volleys of rocket-propelled grenades more like heavy rain. I was sitting in the little base's recreational computer room, one of about 20 plywood buildings scattered around COP, Michigan's gravel-covered grounds, when the thump of an explosion sounded from somewhere else on the fortified compound. The chatter of incoming and outgoing machine guns quickly joined the din, followed by the blasts of the outpost's mortars firing their own explosive shells up into the cloud-draped gray and green hills. "It might not be worth going out into that," a tall blonde soldier using one of the computers remarked to a friend sitting next to him. By the time a jet dropped a bomb on one of the insurgent firing positions, the attack had already subsided and infantrymen were sitting outside again in their one dedicated outdoor space, a little wooden deck outfitted with picnic tables, homemade Adirondack chairs, a pull-up bar, and a shroud of green plastic camouflage netting meant to shield the enclave from the view of Taliban spotters, whose vantage points above otherwise offered a clear view of every inch of the valley floor base. "That was a good one," one of the young soldiers on the deck said regretfully when the ground shook slightly and we watched the plume of smoke from the airstrike rise from behind a tree-dotted ridge. He was sorry he'd forgotten to get his video camera out to record it for posterity and Facebook. The troops of COP, Michigan during the summer of 2010 wore the black Screaming Eagle patch of the 101st Airborne Division on the shoulders of their camouflage fatigues. The 700 soldiers of their battalion, the division's 1327 Infantry, nicknamed the Bulldogs, were 2 months into a deployment to four outposts in the valley formed by the fast-moving Pech River. Flying up the Pech in the passenger cabin of a Black Hawk helicopter in late July, on my way to visit the Bulldog Battalion, I'd gotten a bird's-eye look at the terrain surrounding it in Kunar Province, 100 miles northeast of Kabul. Wave after wave of peaks and ridges, rising another 5 or 10,000 feet from valley floors that were already 3,000 feet above sea level. The valleys looked like the veins of a leaf, big ones like the Kunar River Valley, which ran north to south through the province, were joined by tributaries like the Pech, which in turn were fed by the smaller tributaries that ran down side valleys so steep and narrow that some were more like canyons. Keep going up the Pech, and you would eventually leave Kunar and wind up in the next province to the north, Nuristan, a place famous in Afghanistan for having converted to Islam from an animist religion barely a century before. Sharp spurs jutted out into the valley, forcing the river's course to curve around them and marking its junctions with small side valleys. Viewed from a height, the spurs looked like the teeth in the open jaws of a crocodile. COP, Michigan, sat where one of these tributaries joined the Pech. On the opposite side of the flood-swollen river, two rocky teeth flanked the mouth of the Korangul Valley, made famous by other journalists as the Valley of Death for the high toll that the fighting there had taken on a series of American units going back to a disastrous special operations mission in 2005. From 2006 until the spring of 2010, U.S. troops had maintained a cluster of bases inside the Korangul, outposts similar to Michigan but more compact. Another unit had shuttered these bases just a few weeks before the Bulldog Battalion deployed. The troops at Michigan knew just bits and pieces about what was going on inside the Korangul now. Local Taliban leaders had moved into the abandoned bases, intelligence reports said, Although aerial footage from Predator drones and other surveillance aircraft didn't show any obvious signs of militant training camps or other alarming activity. Snippets of intercepted insurgent walkie-talkie chatter in Arabic, a foreign language in the country, suggested that back there somewhere, working with the local Taliban, were operatives of Al-Qaeda. It was the terrorist organization's presence as the guest of local militants that had drawn the American military into Afghanistan in the first place in 2001, into Kunar in 2002, into the Pech in 2003, and then into its tributaries. What mattered to the troops at Michigan, though, was that the Korangul was where the fire was coming from during attacks on their base, especially the munitions that really made you think twice before stepping outside, such as shells from bazooka-like recoilless rifles and the finger-sized bullets of heavy machine guns. In his office inside the concrete-ringed plywood headquarters building, or operations center, the unexcitable company commander in charge of the outpost, Captain Dakota Steedsman, gave me a rundown of what his soldiers had experienced so far during their 2 months in the Pech. On his second day at Michigan, he recounted, a heavy machine gun, firing with surprising accuracy from a ridge two-thirds of a mile inside the Korangul, had pinned his men down and wounded a sergeant inside the base's little chow hall. Other soldiers had been wounded since, and one had died, a mechanic killed when a rocket-propelled grenade, or RPG, exploded in the tent where he was working. "I should expect to see 3 or 4 attacks on the outpost each day during my stay," Steedsman told me, lasting anywhere between 5 and 45 minutes, "and I should be careful about going outside during them." At 7:35 p.m., the third attack that day kicked off. Machine gun rounds and RPGs snapped in from behind Ranger Rock, a big boulder overlooking the base just inside the Korangul, kicking up gravel and ricocheting off concrete blast barriers. Soldiers fired back with their own machine guns from the turrets of big, boxy, armored trucks parked at intervals inside the perimeter walls. I tagged along with First Sergeant George Elscheid, the senior man among the enlisted troops the company commander, Steedsman, and his lieutenants oversaw, as he stepped out of the operations center and ran through the labyrinth of concrete and dirt-filled barriers over to the mortar pit. "First Sergeant, you're not running around out here, are you?" one mortarman asked. The First Sergeant grunted. The mortarman turned to me, the visiting reporter. "You came at a good time," he joked. He and a few other soldiers were dropping rounds into 3 mortar tubes, sending green-painted explosive shells arcing toward grid coordinates they'd long since memorized, and then ducking into a concrete shelter when the incoming fire got too close. Some of the radio chatter had an urgent tone. Up above Michigan, 15 or 16 ill-trained soldiers from the U.S.-backed Afghan National Army, ANA, manned an observation post, or OP, perched on the finger of rock that jutted directly across the Korangul's mouth. During the day, 2 Afghan flags were visible flying over the post. Now its defenders were frantically contacting the operations center on the radio, saying, through an interpreter, that the incoming fire was too much for them. "Roger, I copy possible overrun of the OP," the senior mortarman said into his radio, suggesting insurgents might be about to capture the Afghan troops' precarious position. I'd never heard anything like that before during my embeds with American and British infantry units at outposts around Afghanistan and Iraq. "Guys, stand your shit right by the door, you understand? Full gear." Elscheid, the first sergeant, cursed and ran back to the operations center. I followed him. The Afghan troops at the observation post were taking heavy fire, but they weren't actually being overrun. Back inside the operations center, a fire support specialist was on the radio with the crews of 2 howitzers, huge guns that lobbed 96-pound shells in a high arc at a bigger base 4 miles distant, feeding them coordinates of positions inside the Korangul that insurgents were shooting from. "First grid, 42 Sierra X-ray, Delta 77806650. Second grid, X-ray Delta.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?